I thought we could say the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay, you know the Pledge of Allegiance? Probably pretty well. Let's go ahead and say that. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Did anybody say amen afterwards? Do you tend sometimes to say amen afterwards? Raise your hand if you've ever slipped and said amen at the end of the Pledge of Allegiance. It's not actually part of the pledge, so you know, yeah, I see that. You got to raise it higher, Heidi. You're a little short, you know. It's not a prayer. It's a pledge. But there certainly are things in there that are very prayer-worthy, aren't they? I mean, it's a worthy thing. It's something that we should pray for, that our nation be under God, that we be an indivisible nation. And certainly, we should pray for things like liberty and justice for all. Because if we're honest with ourselves, and if we're honest, we take an honest look at our country, there isn't liberty and justice for all, or at least there are plenty of people that don't feel that they have liberty and justice. Well, at the very least, say that. And if we look at our country too, we sure see a lot of division as well. And so these are things that we should certainly pray for, especially as we look at our country, but not only our country, but the whole world. There are so many people in this world, well, who aren't under God, for one, at least in their own faith, and do not have liberty, and certainly do not have justice. So maybe saying amen at the end of the pledge isn't such a bad thing. It probably belongs there. Liberty and justice for all. Our country has, I think every war that we've ever fought in, some way or another, could be linked to that pursuit, right, of liberty and justice for all people. And I would say that a lot of people who have gone into a protest of one kind or another, whether we agree with that protest, that behind there they would say that they're protesting for a person's liberty, they're protesting for a person's justice. These are things that, as Americans, we are taught to pursue and to desire. Liberty and justice for all. But they aren't strictly American ideals. We see these things in our passage today in Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42 is a section of Isaiah that is often referred to as a servant song. It's a song about the coming servant of the Lord. And these desires that we see in the pledge are also echoed here in this servant song. We see that God desires that people would be under Him. In fact, chapter 41 of Isaiah mentions a lot about idolatry and how people have, well, they're not under God. They're under things that they have made themselves. They give idols their worship. And several times in Isaiah 42, we see that word justice and a pursuit for it. This servant has been called, in verse 1, to bring justice to the nations. In verse 3, that the servant will make sure that justice is done. In verse 4, he won't quit or give up until he brings justice everywhere on earth. And when it comes to liberty, we see this later on in the passage, that this person would bring a light and a promise of hope to the nations, that is to all people, and give sight to the blind and set prisoners free from the dark dungeons. Liberty and justice for all is the mission of this servant in Isaiah. The Lord desires these things, to bring justice to all, to light to all. When this passage was written initially, there's a kind of two meanings to the passage. One is that God had this desire that His chosen people, the people of God, the people of Israel, would be this, that they would be His servant and would bring these things to the nations around them. that as God's chosen people, they would be set apart, they would be indivisible, they would be under the Lord God as his people and his people alone, and he would be their only God. Their full worship would go on him. And that as such, that they would be an example and a light to the nations around them of what it means to live as a freed people of the Lord God Almighty. To live as people that would embrace what good and right and just living on earth should look like. That the poor would be taken care of, the weak would be watched after, and things would be right. This was God's desire with his people, the people of God. But instead of being under one God, they fell into idolatry. And they worshiped other gods. And instead of living in the light, they chose to live in the darkness of their sin. And as people living in the darkness of their sin, they were then in bondage to their sin. They were not free. As people bound to sin, then, justice, that is, living according to God's desire and God's will for this world and being obedient to his commands, went by the wayside. It wasn't done. In fact, it was just the opposite. Israel, as the people of God, failed to be the servant as God dictates here in Isaiah 42. So instead, God has another servant in mind. But I should point out, though, that Israel isn't the only people who have failed God's word, right? We look at ourselves, and we can see that we fall into the same categories and the same stumbling places that Israel, the people of God, do as well. Because left on our own, we too are bound to sin and cannot free ourselves. That's our confession from our green hymnal, right? I am in bondage to sin and cannot free myself. And so what we do is, as sinners in this world, in this fallen world, we're kind of like we're the opposite of a moth. We're a kind of a perverse and confused moth. You know, if you have a moth in your house, or what they do is they go towards the light, right? You leave a yard light on in the middle of the summer overnight, and there's moths and all sorts of gross bugs kind of hovering around there. I hate that kind of thing. I hate moths, by the way. They're the worst insect out there. And they kind of hover around that light. We're like a perverse form of that. Instead of hovering around the light, we hover around darkness. We're attracted to it. So as a moth attracted to darkness, we aren't free from our sin. We aren't free to obey the Lord and to live according to the Lord's desires. Instead, we take a thing like liberty, and we define it that liberty means that we get to do what we want, as long as it doesn't hurt somebody else, right? As sinners, that's how we define liberty. As sinners, as a moth attracted to the darkness, we redefine justice as well. Justice is only justice if my desires come out on top. I've got two girls, 2 years apart. I can tell you what their definition of justice is. You put a toy in the middle of them, and they both think it's theirs, and the person that is just is the one who was able to grab the toy the fastest. Their justice is that they got it. The other person thinks that's justice isn't that. It's justice as if I have the toy. As sinners, we have this perverse sense of justice, that God's desires, God's will, are okay as long as they match my desires and my will. And we will live under God so long as he views liberty and justice the same way I do. And this essentially is what idolatry is, to create God in our image instead of living as creatures in the image of God. And so while we as sinners think we are making the world a lighter place, we really only make it darker. And so God calls his true servant. He calls Jesus. He sends his son to be the true servant the world needs. And this servant, Jesus, doesn't accomplish liberty or justice through his own violence or through his own fight and his own aggressiveness. Instead, Isaiah talks about it in a different way. This servant is selfless. He is kind. He is compassionate. He worries over even the least of these. This is what verse 3 means in this Isaiah 42. The servant won't break off a bent reed or put out a dying flame. That is, things that are practically useless, things that are weak, this servant won't snuff them out. Instead, he'll give strength to them. And he'll make sure that justice is done. Jesus is the one chosen by God to bring light and to even be light for the nations, to bring the promise of hope, the promise of life to a world who is sorely in need of it. He is the one who is the promise of hope to the new nations, to the nations. He is the new covenant. And he brings this promise to us, and we receive this promise today in the body and blood of Christ, given for you for the forgiveness of sins. A new covenant in his blood. This season of Advent is always a special one, I think, and I love the colors of it, I love the decorations, and I love the Advent wreath. Now here we don't talk about what the candles are named. Somewhere in church history, they decided to name the candles. I'll throw that out. I don't like that. What I do like is this. In the darkest time of the year, when it's dark at 4:30 at night, and you wake up in the morning and it's 8 o'clock and it's still dark out, each Sunday we add a little more light to it as we anticipate the coming of Christ. And next Sunday we'll light another blue candle. And then on Christmas Eve, we'll light the white candle, and we'll celebrate Christ coming into this world, a light of hope, a promise of hope for the nations. Jesus is that light. And then on Christmas Eve night, as we gather here and you all sit very patiently with those little candles in your hands, we'll sing Silent Night. And from that Christ candle, all our candles will also be lit. And Jesus, who is light in the world, will bring his light to the rest of the world through those who have faith in him. It's a dramatic effect that I think we often forget what we're actually doing it for. But in my mind, that's what it's supposed to be. That Christ comes in this darkest of days, the darkest of hours, brings hope to all people. And those who have received this hope and faith then spread this light to the rest of the world. Let's pray. O gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who is the light and hope of the nations. We thank you that he is light where we are only darkness. Grant us faith to trust in you, to have the light of Christ penetrate into our hearts, to make us then people who pursue liberty and justice as you have them in mind in this world. And as people who have faith in you and who believe in you, have received you, help us now also to be light and to be ambassadors on your behalf to the rest of this world. We pray this in your name. Amen.